For those of you who'd like access to this content, follow the link in the description box, visit our Patreon page, and subscribe to the Black Kluge tier. For a mere $5 a month, you get access to the alternate Sunday episodes you've been missing, only available on Patreon, as well as the weekly Tuesday episodes. But wait, there's more. If you subscribe to the Black Kluge tier, you'll also get 2 weeks advance notice to our Thursday sessions. And if you needed any more incentive, when we have bonus episodes, Patreon is the place where you're going to find them. Also, don't forget to check out TeePublic for our great swag. The link is also in the aforementioned description.
Honestly, I just thought you'd think it was kind of like funny. This chick's real into you, and then like, hey, if you're really into her, you know what? I swear to you, I like a stack of Bibles on my children's
life. My point is, that was my thought. Okay, all right. Well, listen, I believe you that, but I don't.
Not to embarrass
I know,
you.
I know you believe in the Bible, and that means a lot.
No, I said my children's lives. That's when I'm being greedy.
No, if you get a girl on the air who likes fat guys, I'll insult this guy who I say is my friend on the air and go, can you believe this hot chick likes fat guys? I'll do my bro, the gayest the fucking thing ever, bro. Who says that? And
I do, douchebag.
I know.
Yeah. Is douchebag better?
Yeah, and you want to know something? I thought you were a bro. Honestly.
I don't want to be a bro. I don't even know what the fuck that means.
Why are you
treating me like I'm a shithead?
I am not. I would do this for any of my bros.
This is dumb, bros.
I'll fuck you.
So leave
She doesn't
want
to just fuck you. She's looking at people.
I don't
want to
date her. And the whole, I was against the dial-a-date thing. And then that girl, she was a little bit older. She was, you know, I don't know how much older, but definitely older. She, you know, was out in the professional world out there, and it was more of a woman just in the sense of her life experience. And I did. I actually hit it off with that girl.
Right.
And I tried very hard to make that work, and it turns out she had a boyfriend. You know, Howard News found that she had a boyfriend, so I've been kind of burned going down this road before.
You can say, I'll get in the studio, and I'll get there, and there'll be free food, and I'll take some free food home to feed my kid who hasn't eaten in a week, because I cashed my check from Chuckles and Mineola to buy Coke from the guy on the LIE who sells the oranges. And then Levy picks her up and plies her with drugs and gets her up here, and she's stoned out of her mind. And she goes, I like fat guys. I like fat guys. Howard and Gary fall for it like the suckers that they are. And they get her in here, and she's in a bikini, and I'm giving her my number. And Levy's outside getting free crumpets for the family.
What if I strolled in a girl who's into geeky looking, pelican looking hot guy?
I cared about you.
And she's got a fetish. She's into pelicans.
Bring her in.
So you're saying I look like a pelican? Yeah, and you're saying I'm fat. The whole segment is about. The whole segment is about this hot chick somehow liking an obese, disgusting
guy. Fuck off. You're a fucking asshole.
Welcome, ladies and gents, to QF, a podcast about Howard Stern. I'm your host, Phil Moore, a.k.a. Jim Fix, with a myriad of technical issues, but we're going to get through with this one. Back for this prologue part two of the bro fight is Kayla. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. I'm just sitting here happy that it's not me with the technical issues.
No, it's me. It's just me. And I feel like putting fists through both the computer and the laptop. So we're going to continue where we left off, guys, is with, despondent looking skater boy here, which was the screen cap of the entire episode, last one. And we're going to finish up this video component.
I hope so, but he doesn't seem into me. You gotta
What? I gave you my phone number. What else do you want me to do?
Do you want to say something sexy to him before you leave? Maybe that'll entice him.
Come on, Artie. Seriously, I'm not like any of these other girls.
I know.
Well, that's for sure.
Come on, seriously. Like, just give me one night. I'll cook for you. We'll watch the Yankee game. I'll rub your back, rub your belly.
All right.
Yeah, that won't be bad. Great. Come on.
Good. We'll tear it up.
He's just laughing at me.
I am not laughing at him.
What is it, Ginch?
What the fuck is wrong with him?
I don't know.
Jesus.
You're fat? What about him?
Dude, if I wasn't dating someone, attractive. I would hook up with this girl.
What did she say?
She said, I don't think he's attractive. Let me put it back right back.
I don't know.
Jesus.
You're fat? What about him? Look at him. Fat guy.
Dude, if I wasn't
like
dating someone,
attractive.
I like fat and attractive.
Oh, my God.
Now, if you heard, let's put the shoe on the other foot. If this is you, for example, hearing, if you're Artie, but you're not, forget the fat equation or something like that, but you're hearing this about someone else and you're a third party, you're not in, directly involved, what would your first impression be?
Ew, like, no. No. Nasty. She's horrible. She's a horrible human.
Yeah, it is. It is. It does seem like a little too, like, that's below. I know it's the Howard Stern show and Ganji's just a, you know, a guy off the side, but he's like a Howard TV person. It's not really on mic all the time. But is that, was that really necessary?
Right. Like, you can't insult people that walk in that, like, work for the show unless that's, I don't know. It is. I don't know. Like I said before, she's super entitled and really thinks highly of herself. And like, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's very, too very rude.
Hook up with this girl.
That's what I like.
What'd she say?
She likes fat attractions.
You motherfucker, right? You're the one who walked over to the mic.
I mean, look at his smile. Oh,
don't ever take this whore. You entered the conversation.
You like Artie's smile?
Yeah, he's got such a nice smile. And he's just like, he's even better looking in person, seriously. Like, I'm like smitten.
I'm not ugly like Ganji.
Oh, no, God.
Is Artie much better looking than Ganji?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Ganji walked over to give me shit and he walked into a hurricane.
All right, well, Ganji, get out of here.
She hit you with a sucker punch.
Jesus. I don't think Ganji looks that bad.
He doesn't. He's just an average guy. Like, I don't really think of him either way.
Right.
He's certainly not so hideous that she needs to be a dick. Like, she's such a fucking dick. And she's trying so hard to kiss Artie's ass. And it's too much.
It's coming off completely wrong. Maybe she sees her little appearance going up in smoke. I'm not sure, but either way, let's get to the bottom of the ugliness. Pardon the expression.
You call me and we'll talk. What you're saying is very nice. At the end, here, you're being very affectionate.
No, because I'm serious. I've always had like a little crush on you.
Really?
I saw Dirty Work, and I'm like, oh my god.
For doing that, I should have sex with you.
Damn right. You should at least treat her nice.
And I couldn't afford to go see Beer League. I really wanted to.
What?
No, I was really broke. Like, I had to,
supporting,
like,
supporting her dad.
I'm like, I had to help him. Like, he tries, but I had to help him out.
$10.
What? I couldn't. Like, it was either like that or like,
I guarantee you, listen, a free signed DVD.
You put out for Artie, really? And you roll him good, you'll be rolling.
You would have hated Beer League. I'm skinnier in it.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I think what she meant was she couldn't fly to a place. She couldn't get to a place where it was being shown.
Oh, it wasn't everywhere?
It wasn't everywhere. Like, it would have been maybe somewhere in Jersey and then maybe somewhere in New York. But it's not like it had full, you know, international distribution, you know, at the, every single big movie house there. Just nuts.
I'm sitting here thinking when they pan back to her full body, that bikini is not doing her any favors because the bottom part, why is it so puffy?
It looks bunched up.
Right, like her.
Right. What she, like, I hate to say it, but is she wearing, you know, a pad or something in there? Like, right. which you're not supposed to do, I guess. You know, it doesn't make sense.
I'm like, she either has a full bush or she has got like something. It looks very.
Or her name was
balloon-ish.
Chester.
Something.
Oh, God.
You are, but you still, it's like still you, and you still like have like your je ne sais quoi.
Greg, go ahead in Korea.
God. This is wonderful.
Greg's listening in Korea. Go ahead.
Hey, you guys. You guys are awesome. Hey, I just want to say, first of all, my wife is driving. I'm in Korea. I'm in the Air Force at Osan. You guys rock. She's driving home right now, so I know she's listening to you guys because she loves you guys too. And Artie, it's physical. You got to get over it, man. She sounds awesome. Go for it.
She's very nice. She's very cute. I just want Ganji to say something else.
Why is he talking? There's no point. No way. There's like absolutely no way.
Artie, allow Angry Black to speak.
Hey, now, 2 points on this.
A black guy's going to call
Angry Black.
No, okay. No, Artie, I'm in your corner on this. This is just another chick that comes through here.
What the hell does he know? This is the guy that won't even tip me, like, when I come to the club.
Be quiet while I'm speaking. You want your little 15?
He doesn't tip you? You know this guy, Angry Black?
No, like,
black guys don't tip?
No, they know. No.
That's so bad.
And she's racist.
Yeah, I mean,
she's the full package.
I mean, honestly, like, even if, okay, I suppose that if you want to fancy yourself a truth teller and you say that, you know, But it's a generalization, and that's, no one would listen to that and not think you got, okay, you got some racist issue, because you're telling me every single black person doesn't tip. Come on.
Right. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I got fucking sick. I make six figures. I tip any strip club.
Oh, okay. And then you're the guy that'll offer me $100 for sex, and then
I'm not selling my body out.
They want it for nothing.
Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
Did you ever say to some of these black guys, "Why don't you tip?"
Really? Well, like, all right, I was working at a different place one night, and I only after this I was like, no, I'm going to a nicer place, because I got off, I jumped off stage and I was going and like just walking around just saying like, you know, hi, how are you doing and stuff like that. And this guy, like, he just like grabbed me and like forced me on him and was like, can I get a lap dance right here? I'm like, no, you have to pay me and then we go back there. And they're like, he's like, no, I want it right here. And I want it for $10. I'm like, no, you can't do that. And I kept like trying to say like,
is this whistling through your ears as it is mine?
Yeah, I'm just, my eyes are glazed over. I don't give a fuck. Like, she's horrible. Yeah. I don't give a shit with any of this. What does that have to do with black people and tipping? Get the fuck out of here.
I used to tell my students, and occasionally I still do at the beginning of the semester, you start with 100 and then you work your way down throughout the semester. Like, it's not, you know, you have to prove yourself. You just have to, you know, prove that you can hang for the duration. And then eventually you screw up your whatever. She's doing the same thing. She's not coming in with like best foot forward. Mm-mm. She's not like, she's not endearing herself to anybody. She's not likable, body wise. I suppose if she looked, who would she have to look like for all this to be acceptable?
I mean, I can't think of anybody, but it has to be like top tier, like legitimate supermodel. I'm not talking Beth. I'm talking like legitimate. I mean, I can't even think of anybody, but I guess, you know, I think it was Elle Macpherson that insulted Howard. That was acceptable.
She's yes, it was. Enough.
Like, that's acceptable.
Definitely. Yeah. I think that's one. Yeah, for sure. Elle Macpherson.
Yeah.
You can't. You have to go with, you gotta follow the rules. And he's like, well, listen, I'll just tip you real good. And I'm like, no. And then like, he wouldn't like let me leave. And I was trying to call a bouncer over. And like, a second after that place, I flipped out on the boss and I'm like, I am never coming back.
So you already had a lot of shit to talk to this girl.
That guy sounds like a rapist. I mean, you're lucky you got out of that one.
And then as I'm walking out the door, as like, he's getting escorted out by a bouncer. He's like, I'll give you $800 for sex. And I'm like, if I take that money, I will not come out alive, because he will kill me for that.
Do me a favor when you meet Artie's mom. Don't tell her that story either.
No, I won't. No, okay. Yeah, parents usually love me.
I bet.
I don't think so, honey.
Right.
I don't
parents.
Think so.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I'm serious.
Hey, Jessica Hahn, what do you want to say?
Howard, I think that it sounds like you're sending like his mom and dad set him up on like a blind date. Artie.
Thank you. She gets it. It is weird.
Pictures of Jenner on HowardStern.com. You can check her out for yourself. Very attractive.
Howard, it's not smooth, honey. It should just be natural. It sounded like your mom and dad just, you know, wanting the
honey,
best.
Honey, I just brought a girl in who wrote me a letter. I thought I was doing Artie a favor.
You know, if somebody wrote to Howard.
Yeah, I would have her down here.
Let's cut through the bullshit. Here's Howard doing me a favor. Like, he calls me one day and he goes, listen, there's a real cute girl who Beth kind of knows. She models. She's a 25, wonderful girl. She doesn't strip. She's nice. Blah, blah. Want to take you out to dinner one night. We're off the air. Like, that's a favor.
We don't know anybody that.
Did you catch that? That Artie said that Beth knows? What?
You know, as if it was like if it was a real setup.
Right. Oh, so he lied. Howard lied.
No, he's saying that if the situation was he wanted to help a bro out, he would do it behind the scenes. And,
I gotcha.
You know,
I
say
gotcha.
Beth knows someone who's, you know, not really nice and she's not seeing anyone and all that shit, you know, on the down low.
Okay, I misunderstood. I thought he was telling the story, and I was like, "Wait, this girl knows Beth?"
No,
okay.
God, no, God. Right. She's certainly classless enough to be, you know, Beth's like second cousin or something. But yeah,
okay.
Dude, I don't have that with anybody.
In other words, you're holding this on the air. This is not a favor.
That's true. I don't know.
This is embarrassing.
No, I didn't have
Why
to. I don't have to. I don't
feel
have to.
Like a charity case.
I got 10,000 segments. Excuse me. I've got 10,000 segments I can do here. I said, you know what? If I was Artie, I'd want to meet the chick. And so it's like I'm an iceberg.
if I was Artie. This is such the worst gaslighting on the planet. I mean, and he already knows this is not that. Mm-hmm. That's not how it goes. He knows it's the Howard Stern show. And the dial-a-dates, when he did agree to the dial-a-date, and they had those three girls in, and of course we found out the one has a boyfriend, and so he felt, you know, really gun shy after that experience. But at least he was fully made aware this is what it's going to be. Like, right. You know, that was he accepted. He knew it was, you know, the one of them. We're going to try to set it up. And they during the tryouts, they were like looking at pictures. And I think Howard goes, "Oh, fuck off," to the guys in the back office here. "This is a guy." They threw a picture of a trans in there. God. and so he would be OK with that. But it's just the couching of this is so bad. And there's no getting around it. And every time they make reference to his fat or heavy or hefty or stuff, it's just like a bell. Your head's inside a bell and someone's just rung the bell.
I know. It's so awkward. It's like past the it's just on a whole other level at this point. Like, she's trying way too hard. She's an asshole on top of it.
Yeah.
And I think even Howard is like kind of like, ugh, she sucks. But he has to continue to go along with this stupid thing to, you know, play it up for the bit or whatever. Robin's over there. I don't even know what she's on right now. She's off in another fucking world.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just super awkward.
But I wanted to ask you a question. Do you think this was, because I personally don't, but do you think this was Howard's way of deliberately, what's the word? Just fucking with Artie because he's jealous? Or do you think he didn't give it a second's thought? I don't think it was as calculated as some people think. I think it was literally, let's see what I could do to make some Howard TV content. And this is one of those things.
I'm sure it probably started out like that, but I fully believe Howard got when he got the idea, he got like a little ping of like, yeah, fuck him. You know, that little feel good of like, it's mean because he likes being mean to people.
Certainly.
Yeah. And so I fully believe it's gone to that. It may not have started out that way. Mm-hmm. No, but he absolutely was just over Artie at this point because Artie was the golden child. So yeah.
So you're saying like it became to him at, like during the process of this all that he could fuck with him a little bit and not really care about it. And if he could poke fun during as it got more and more into the thing, all of a sudden it could develop into, well, here's a real way to fuck with him.
You know, I don't even know if it was conscious. I'm going to fuck with him, but he sure loves the being mean part. Like, I think he gets into it as it's going. So it might not have been like a decision. Oh, I'm going to fuck with him.
No,
but he certainly fuels the fire and gets a thrill out of being mean and degrading.
So just his basic nature made it so that it couldn't go any other way.
I think so.
Yeah. I think you're right on with that.
Mm-hmm.
Bring her in.
It's gone too far. It sounds forced. How?
No, he immediately started attacking the girl.
He's mad.
Artie.
Yes.
Guys.
Go ahead, Jessica.
Artie, you taking how many milligrams?
I'm kidding.
How many milligrams do you want, Jessica?
Because two milligrams is like was my limit, and you put it under your tongue, and that was.
What were you trying to avoid?
What drug were you on, heroin?
No, I did this a long time ago.
She was taking the Vicodin for a while, right? That's opiates.
No, yeah, but I have Subutex. It's 2 milligrams. I've dissolved it under my tongue every 4 hours.
Oh, we're way past 2 milligrams.
I got
today.
8 milligram tablets.
Jesus Christ almighty.
Good God.
Fuck. Sometimes I think he does that hyperbole and it's not, but in this case, no. I think he's being legit. And that seems like a lot of fucking medication, whether you're 300 pounds or not.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he's popped at least 2 while we've been watching this, 40-minute, hour-long video? Like,
Jesus, that's strong.
But I'm very, you know, you're skinny. As the point of the segment tells you, I'm enormous. And I
got to tell you something. Artie's girl looks close to crying. Are you?
No, it's
She's
just
not
like,
going to cry.
It's like, is Jessica still there?
Yeah.
No, I hung up on her.
Oh, because like
taking the topic to Subutext.
No, I'm probably going to get a wow on this, but like it's very hard for me to get a boyfriend because like
surprised.
Well, look where you're hanging out. You know,
I haven't done this for long. I I just did this because I have no other choice. Like, I tried getting a job at all these fine dining places because it's what I love to do.
Nobody at Whiskey Dick's who hits on you?
Oh, God. But I don't mess with that. And it's like when I'm
sure
with
a ton of fat guys are at Whiskey Dick's.
They all look like Ganji.
Yeah, they all look like Ganji. And they're.
I'm sorry.
They
all look like Ganji. Ganji always thinks he's a good-looking guy. Ganji, I guess you got your comeuppance.
When did I become ugly all of a sudden?
Sorry.
Well, you're balding, and like a goatee looks stupid. Like,
oh my God.
I mean, I can't disagree. Like, he's not a young Robert Redford, but at the same time, like, who, you don't say this to people on a regular basis unless you're Lisa Lampanelli pre, you know, life coaching era.
I think this is who she is. Like, yeah. This is what I mean. He walks up, and he walked up to take up for her, number one.
Yeah.
So he wasn't being insulting. I get it if he was being an asshole, but he wasn't. He walked up to say, Artie, what's your problem? She's hot, blah, blah, blah. And then she is sitting there insulting him to his face like that. Yeah. Like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, I can see in your face you're actually getting angry about it.
I am getting angry. I'm honestly like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
You can't walk in there like that. You're a nobody. You're being a fucking asshole. And she's playing it all wrong.
Yeah.
At least the strippers that come in and things like that, they know how to be girly and they do the baby talk and they kind of tell their dumb little dumb stories and whatever. And it's very non-threatening, and I feel like they get it for the most part. But she comes in like she owns the place, like she's somebody. I don't know. I don't get it. I really don't get it. It's very bizarre. But the being mean thing, I don't like that.
Not a good look at all.
Uh-uh.
No, it's quite the opposite.
Learn how to shave your crotch there, sweetheart.
Hey, don't fuck with my girl.
Hey, easy, Ganji.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go sit in the sun for a little while. You'll
my
look a little pale.
God.
Oh, great.
See? Are your earlier fears compounded?
Yes.
Well, she doesn't. She has like no hips, basically. God.
He told her to shave her crotch.
He did shave her crotch. Yeah, she said just shave your crotch, whatever. But like get more time in the salon or something. But I mean, listen, don't you think Ganji's entitled to take a few shots back at this point?
Oh, yeah, of course he is. I think it's awesome. I'm glad he did that. I'm glad he was mean.
Okay,
yes.
Fair enough.
Great. I'm full-blooded Irish. What the hell do you expect?
Right.
Probably
burned.
Better than any girl you could ever bring home. So.
Bet.
Oh, yeah. I will bet a lot.
All right, Ganji. Thank you. He was insulted. You insulted the guy.
Oh, come on. Come on. It's all a good fun, Ganji.
Ganji goes, when did I become ugly? How about 1997?
Ganji came out of this the worst.
Yeah. Ganji got burned on this segment.
But he's still a sweetheart.
Yeah.
It's all in good fun. Come on.
She just wants her Artie.
Well, look, I got the healthy chicken. I'm going to put mayonnaise on this.
Don't put mayonnaise on that.
what?
I'm not sure. So she brought that in or somebody brought that in, whatever. Jesus, you need food props. You got to keep track of all the food props on the show. So, yeah, I think maybe the part of it is trying to play it up because it's the Stern Show and she thinks I got to be outrageous or I got to be like, and true enough, no one was going to forget this segment, but for a vast number of reasons, not because of her personality.
No. And maybe that's it. She's just simply trying too hard.
Yeah.
I do think though, she's not an actress. So I think there's a lot of this that's real, right?
Yeah.
Like in maybe a little bit over the top or whatever, trying too hard. But no, I think she's just a dick.
But still her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think this is her.
Okay. Fair enough.
I hate mayonnaise.
It's all coming out now.
Wow. Listen to me.
How am I going to date a girl
you
that
got
like mayonnaise?
Artie's number. I think he started out hostile. I think he warmed up.
I think
you.
He's softening up.
I think
she's clearly a very sweet girl.
Yeah. And you're attractive.
And very pretty. And you have my phone number.
He just isn't like, wow.
If I was creeped out by you at any level or thought you weren't attractive, I wouldn't be giving you my phone number under any sort of duress. I don't care about that.
No, but will you call her back? I mean,
of course. Listen, I'm not an asshole. I'm not rude. If she calls me, of course I'll call her back.
Angry Black, you're back on the air.
Hey, now. All right. Like I said,
this girl just made a racist statement about brothers not tipping. Yes, that occurs, but that doesn't happen with me. And number two, the reason that brothers don't tip whores like you is because you're a whore.
I'm a whore.
Wait a second.
I didn't make a racist.
Now, Angry Black, Angry Black doesn't pull any punches when he comes on.
No.
I would actually love an interview with him because of all the he's had so many appearances on the show, and he's since like disappeared. I don't even know what happened to him. I don't think he died. And he used to have segments with the King of All Blacks, but he was helping out with a bit of a show. But even though he's being a little excessively nasty, I don't blame him. She was racist. Either. Fuck, you know, Ganji and him, they're both justified.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I think she kind of deserves it. She's asking for it. If you ask me,
and I think Artie was easy on her, to be honest.
Well, here's the thing about Artie. He's actually nice. I don't think he's a mean person. And so you just watched him kind of get mad and angry and frustrated. But then he circled back around and started saying she was nice and sweet.
Yep.
Because he's just nice. I don't think he's interested or really even thinks she's all that. But, you know.
No, it's not even a situation. Yeah, it's not a situation where I think he was like 1 foot on the segment originally and then decided he was getting off as soon as they heard the fat content thing, like the fat, you know, the what do you call it? The context with which they were going with. But then you bring in this chick's personality and the fact that she doesn't look like, you know, young Christie Brinkley. And then he decides this is horrible. This is just really, really bad. And again, I think I said it when I covered with Sam and Bob, if she was a 10, none of this would have happened.
No, I don't think so. No. And she's so nasty. And there's just, it just kept getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm. This comment. All I said was I got scared. And that was one of the first nights I ever started working. And I got really scared by it.
That you stripped for dollars and you have to pay his bills. Your dad must be real proud of you, scumbag.
Come on. I'm hanging up on him. He's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's out of line.
Yeah,
man,
but
don't try to come in here and be attractive and say you like somebody.
Boy, they'll eat you up alive.
Right? I know, seriously. Like, this is what happens to me.
I bet if when we talk on the phone, if it's away from whatever, the glaring lights of show business, I bet we'd have a nice conversation.
All right, Jen, listen to me. Get out of here while you're still alive.
Yeah.
With that comment, I'd say let's end this.
In here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And Angie, go try and grow some hair.
I'm gonna like get like attacked tonight.
And
probably.
if you call me, I guarantee you I will call
you. Come protect me tonight, Artie.
Well, I'll be at the game.
See, what's good about you, once you start dating Artie, any guy gets fresh with you, Artie come down to the club and beat the shit out of you.
I hope so.
Oh yeah, he wants to defend
you. Is that what you're hoping?
Yes.
No, I just
Artie will be down there. Artie will protect
that
you.
That was unfamous Artie, who had nothing to gain in life. This is famous Artie.
Well, you're a lovely girl.
Famous Artie doesn't fight.
Yeah, right.
Famous Artie needs a girl like this.
That's it.
And I'm
You may be right. You may be right.
Yeah.
And I may be crazy.
And I'm not in it. I honestly was like a little bit like hesitant. Like Bob was like, you know,
Bob, who?
Bob Levy.
You know Bob Levy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a deal breaker. A deal breaker.
What a great screen cap, too.
I know.
Slow-mo Bob eating. I don't know what the fuck it was.
Yeah.
A damn donut or a cupcake.
Yeah.
So this is where it all gets down. As soon as I already heard that was, you know what? For everything she did was a bunch of landmines she stepped on, but this was the entire field.
Yeah.
Right now.
He was helping me out. Like,
oh, well, I could tell. You know what, Howard? I'll write the script.
This is a setup.
No, it's not.
This is how you get on the show.
Levy. What are you behind this?
No, she emailed me, right? And she was attracted to big guys. And she liked Artie a lot. So I sent it to the show. And she's very honest about this. This is no bullshit.
Why did she email you?
Because people email me with things.
No. That's not the story, Bob.
Of course it is.
What is the story?
What did she write on your MySpace page?
Oh, she said for an old guy, I'd fuck you. But we ended up talking. We actually just been talking. She likes big guys, and she wanted to date.
So she said she'd fuck you.
No, I was kidding around.
She was joking around.
I was joking around, and we began
talking.
Yeah, that's because a real scream of a joke.
No,
that's not the kind of thing you want to joke around about.
Howard, do you believe she would fuck me? Look at me.
Who would you fuck, Levy or Ganji, if you had to take one?
Oh, please.
Oh.
Please. Oh. Please.
Look at that fat.
Yeah. No.
If you'd be a dollar, will you be nice to me?
No, I'm not like that.
I'll tell you this. Here's I'll settle this right now. If you could tell me who wrote these lyrics.
Uh-oh. Okay.
We'll have something in common. I'm going to say about all this, you may be right. I may be crazy, but I just might be the lunatic you're looking for.
I know this. Like, oh, I want to...
Between this
I'll give
and
you
the
a hint. His wife is your age.
Exactly.
He dates 20-year-olds.
And damn right he does.
Oh, he has, you know, between this...
He has no...
Rod Stewart?
No.
I was about to say something stupid, but... between this and the Levy connection, I don't trust it.
No,
Levy's been gunning for me recently.
No.
This is the truth. This is the truth.
Suspicion on it for me.
No.
Okay, hold on. Now, so it's ironic because we're doing this at the same time as we're doing... Sam and I are doing... what was it? God, now we're just covering it. Oh, the Chappelle Levy thing. And so it's all, and it was, guys, by the way, incidentally, it was totally incidental that we were covering this at this time where it was such a situation. But in fact, the, it was like, Levy needing more airtime. I think it tied in with, they maybe weren't selling many shows, or they were losing ticket sales, basically. How is it Levy in the comics, like the Killers of Comedy? And I think it was just a way to try to get him on the air, basically, to crowbar something out of it. And if it was controversy, fine, it got him on the air. And if it wasn't, then it becomes a bit that Artie talks about and his name gets bandied about. I'm not sure, but do you detect a little let's fuck with Artie with this? Because Bob's going to try to spin it and say it isn't.
Yeah, and I remember the episode with you and Sam, and I remember, I believe it was Artie saying they do kind of dig at each other all the time. And he tried to say that it was kind of like some brotherly kind of ribbing or something.
Yeah.
But it felt a little bit meaner than that. And I don't mean mean like being mean, but I feel like these two have some kind of issue. Like there's a deeper issue because, of course, you know, you can rib and joke and kind of be that fun mean to your friends or whatever, but this feels like a bigger issue. I don't know their history really.
I think someone posted recently on the Patreon basically saying the problem Artie didn't quite get was he was punching down at people, you know, like when he's making this much money. It is that's what, like they in this case sided with Artie, but when you consider where they're coming from and they're at the bottom of the totem pole, it will feel a little harder than if it's a guy on the same level fucking with you. So monetarily, they're not on the same level. Bob Levy might feel he's as good a comic or even better, and probably is a better stand-up comic in terms of just overall technical ability. But I don't believe already quite – And this person made an astute point. I think it was just he didn't understand that while he considered it, we were all a bunch of brothers. They're just the money differential between what he gets and what they get. They kind of feel, well, this is the king shitting on his peons.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. A really good point. So Artie was still just Artie in his own mind.
Yes.
But he went up a rung. And he kind of left them behind.
Sure.
He's still looking at them like they're all parallel to each other, but they are looking at him like, oh, he up and left us. He's better now. He's bigger. He's got more money and et cetera. Yeah, that's actually a really good point.
Right. So it's no longer fraternal ball busting. Mm-hmm. It's someone on top shitting from those of us at the bottom of the rung.
It's kind of like if you and, you know, your really good friends are all working at a place and then all of a sudden one of you becomes the manager.
You got it.
So it's not the same anymore.
It changes.
And
it's not something you will. It's something that happens organically, I suppose. And then you may, and no one, I don't, in a lot of ways, you're right. That's a perfect analogy because no one can put their finger on. They know it's happened, but they don't know that it's going to change anything until they see how they feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like a shift, a subtle shift behind the scenes.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't really put words to it, but something changes. Yeah. That's interesting.
This is the truth. She actually emailed me, and she said that she likes big guys. We talked about it.
So you said, here's how she says, how do I get on the show?
No, not at all.
I didn't want to go on, actually.
No. She was saying that she was attracted to Artie. She's a big guy. She likes big guys. And I finally sent the email over to these guys to talk to
him. You didn't say, you know what I mean?
I can introduce you to Artie. No. You said I'm going
to he told me to come to a show. And he was like, you should meet everyone and hang out.
Listen, honey, here you are in the ninth.
I'm in the
bottom. Two men out and three men on.
All right. What am I gunning for? A curveball here? Should I, like, set
Who
up
wrote
this?
Those lyrics? Here you are in the ninth, two men out and three men on.
I don't know.
I'm sure you have some cosmic rationale.
Who is that? Who is that?
Lying. I'm really, like, Fred knows I'm trying.
Same guy.
Like,
same guy.
Yes, the same guy.
I don't even know that.
I'm sure you have some cosmic
Billy. I don't know.
Shocker Howard.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Billy Joel, isn't it? Isn't that who sings that first song? You may be right. That song.
You may be crazy.
Isn't that Billy Joel?
If it is Billy Joel, I'm happy not to know that it was Billy Joel because I hate him so much.
I hate him too.
But you're right. If something was so popular, you know, it's how do you forget certain lyrics or whatever? But I tuned him out so much, so often.
Oh, God. I think the only reason I even remember anything is because I hate him so much. I don't know why I hate him, but I hate him. I hate him.
It's only gotten worse, hasn't it? Every time he goes on the show and you see him in interviews, see that little troll.
Oh, he's so gross.
He is.
The other day I posted his face, on something, I don't know, somebody made a post or whatever, and I had taken a screen cap of his stupid face, and it was from that documentary, the We Are the World documentary, which, by the way, so fucking good. So good. Please watch it, everyone. It's so good. It's on Netflix.
People talk about it. I think there was a making of originally, where there was an original documentary, and I'm sure that's where a lot of the footage came from.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. It was actual footage. And they did, like, interviews with Lionel Richie and Bruce Springsteen, not looking like Tilda, what's her face at the time. Poor Tilda, minding her own business. Shit.
I thought he looked like Megan Rapinoe.
No, but it's so good. And he was such a dick in that, too. And he always had a smug little gross face. He did not get hardly any airtime in that documentary. And that pleases me. That was my point, so...
Well, yeah, and it was Quincy Jones produced it, I think, mm-hmm. and the lyrics were him, Michael Jackson, I think it's Stevie Wonder, or Smokey Robinson, I can't remember.
Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, okay, so, and I know people, those songs, by the way, all of them were awful, like Starving Children in Africa, or like, the Canadian one, I actually liked it, but it was a Stephen Foster number who was famous for, like, producing Celine Dion and all these fucking pap, you know, superstars, but at the same time, you know, like, it was that era, it was completely, like, nothing says 1985 like these We Are the World, Tears Are Not Enough, Do They Know It's Christmas, these are
I love
so,
that song.
Do They Know It's Christmas? So,
yeah, I love that one. I'm such a nerd with that Christmas music. I love it. I love it.
There was, but you know what there was on the, I think it's on the We Are the World album, if I'm not mistaken. I never bought it, but Prince wouldn't participate in the recording mm-hmm. of the song. It was infamous because, you know, he just, at that time, he just didn't want to have to, I think he was insecure, to be honest. But also, he wanted to do his own thing, which was also very mm-hmm. Prince-like. And he released a song on that was a B-side of something else that is called Another Lonely Christmas with Prince and the Revolution. And it's fantastic.
I didn't know that. No, I'm going to look it up.
Hold on. Let me just see if I can find it right now. Because now that he's dead, everything's on YouTube, thank God. Another Lonely Christmas. There it is. Okay, let's see. Yeah, okay.
Athletic. Unrivaled football insight for just $1 a month.
Now your face in the video is shaking like crazy. Like this is a special effect. Hold on. Let me reduce this a little bit. Yeah, I'm not sure why that's happening. Hold on. Oh, there you go. So you can totally get the sense. You can totally hear 1984, 1985 of that, can't you?
I love it. love it. It's great. So much.
It's a great bit of music.
Remember that night we played for Keaton for money, and you robbed me blind. Remember how you used to scream so loud, because you hated it number nine.
Anyway, I think you get the point. I just wanted to play enough of it so people knew it. And it was a total B-side, and he just said, "Yeah, I'll submit that for the album." But he never played at Live Aid, also, and most of the Stevie Wonder never played at Live Aid. It's quite glaring the number of like supreme black artists that wouldn't play at Live Aid, and I'm not sure what the rationale was, but they did get like part of the Temptations. I think Patti LaBelle played at Live Aid. There were certain artists that did. Anyway, check that out, guys. It's on the Prince. I think it's on. Yeah, you can get it fairly easy. It's on YouTube. So just rip it and don't buy anything then. Anyway.
Billy Joel.
I hate Billy Joel.
Say you like AC/DC.
No way.
Fat guy.
I will go on a lie detector test on this one. This is the truth.
I'm dead serious.
Jen, I believe you. Bob, I believe you.
Let me tell you something.
Artie,
now I'm upset
you.
I gave you my number with the Levy Connect.
No. Seriously.
I would have given it to him.
Now Levy has the number.
If you exactly. Now, don't give my number to Bob.
No.
Honestly.
Good for you.
If you call me, I promise you I'll call you back.
Very good, Jen. Nice to meet you.
And I bet we have a nice
hug.
Go give Artie a hug
right
now.
And I bet we have a nice conversation.
Go ahead. I bet you he's going to get turned on right now. This is going to be the love connection you guys are looking for.
Come on, Artie.
Give me one second.
Yeah. Uncle Artie.
Look at them. They're so cute.
Very nice.
I am serious.
I know. Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
My number looks great.
All right. Very good. All right. Thank you.
I think if you're going to wear a thong, have an ass.
Yeah, like her body's not awesome. And that bikini's not doing her any favors. It's not. It's just not. And so, okay, if I follow correctly, she's a little skank and she's going around trying to make connections. Bob took the bait because I don't like him.
Yeah.
For the record, I don't like him. I still don't like him. He's still just as dicky as he was 20 years ago, whenever this was. He's a brat and pitches fits, and it's just super gross. So he probably got all, you know, whatever over this girl who hits him up on MySpace. So it's a two thing. He's trying to be, you know, creepy dad and help her out.
Okay.
Because he thinks she'll fuck him or whatever. And then also it's a dig at Artie at the same time.
Yes.
Is the way it sounds.
I think, yeah. Well, you've never liked Bob since the beginning, I suppose.
Mm-mm, no, I've never liked him. I still don't like him. Mm-mm.
And on the Uncle Rico show and all that
shit.
Oh, God, you
think no. Yeah. He still pitches fits just like you. I always think of him calling in, leaving those crazy fucking manic voicemails.
Mm-hmm.
Over the top, insane, out of his mind. He's still like that. Like just over the top. His reactions are so disproportionate to everything, and he's crazy. I wouldn't be surprised if he, I don't know. I'm not going to say what, but he's just, I do not like him at all.
Well, Bob's definitely like in the gutter. You're like you talk. You feel. I'm sure people feel dirty when they have to interact with him for it. But he's like a street rat. You know what I mean? And he's desperate. And he's doing what he can. He's now to hit your boat to Shuley now in the Dabbleverse, as opposed to just going out and doing stand up. Maybe because you make more money that way. I guess okay, it makes sense. But I wouldn't want to touch Shuley with a 10-foot pole. And he's fine with it.
Mm-mm, no, rolling, they're rolling, all just
railing up drunk. Anyway, we're going to go into the wrap up show, guys, a little bit and play some of this because I think it's a good cross section of what went on. So hold on.
Jennifer, the woman who is into fat guys, fat attractive guys, I should say, came by as well. So we'll speak about that. Take your calls on the whole show. But let's start off with Jen. Gary, where did Jennifer come from?
Apparently Bob Levy.
Yeah.
But see, what's, I mean, let's cut to the chase. What's going on with Levy and Is this, do you think this is legit? Like, do you think she is into fat guys? Do you think she's into guys on the Howard Stern show?
Here's the deal. I actually was buying into her today, and I know Artie wasn't. He was, you know, suspicious from the get-go. And the whole, once he heard Levy, he's like, Artie turned the switch off in his head. But you got to understand something. For people who are fans of the show, Levy's an avenue. In other words, if you write Bob, he'll actually write you back. He's on that Stern fan network. And so she was looking for a way to get to Artie, and, you know, Bob Levy was able to help her. I don't know that Bob went trolling through the strip clubs of New Jersey looking for her. I mean, that was just the way she could get to us.
Artie, what did you think? I mean, did your mind change as the segment went on, or were you just like, this is bullshit?
I think Bob Levy is basically Jeffrey Dahmer if he read a joke book. And, you know, I know that sounds a little harsh, but I love the guy. And, you know, he gets out on the internet and stalks these women and throws out this web of deceit and sleaziness and hair dye and bad coke, whiskey, beer breath, cheap fucking Target shirts and coupons for Sizzler's 2-for-1 steak on a Wednesday. His $40,000 house just outside of Philly with somehow has a built-in pool. I have no idea what the fuck that looks like.
Came with the house.
That is true. I'm thinking about that. Even back in the day, it was such a status symbol. Like if a house costs that little, how can it have a fucking in-ground pool?
I don't know. I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
His poor child who's being raised by a father who's just not there and a mother who hates being with the father. The father's in the basement, damp, clearly doesn't have the proper heat or air conditioning. Somehow he gets over to this disgusting, jizz-drenched, stinky, whiskey-sobbing computer board and types out, who's out there? Who's out there in fucking virgin creep land that I can try to fuck with my web of grossness?
The best soliloquy I've ever heard.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I'm so glad they let him go on with it, too. Fuck. Yeah, it's just brilliant.
Eventually he gets some takers, some poor women who have a background that's clearly troubling. This girl has father issues, so he's clearly a mad Irish drunk.
We don't know that.
She has dyed black hair. She's goth. She's like the fat gay guy's son on The Sopranos. She's probably shit in the gym shower several times. And she tells...
That is such an insult.
Oh. the minute he brought up the gay guy's son in The Sopranos, he immediately thought of the scene and decided that was the perfect analogy.
Oh, God, it was.
Levy this on the computer, and Levy goes, well, it's perfect. Perfect. What do you like, honey? Do you like the Howard Stern show? She's like, yeah, I like the Howard Stern show. I'm a stripper. I'd love to get on. Well, I could get you on the Howard Stern show with you. How do you want to get on? I don't know. I kind of like big guys. Perfect, perfect. Say you like fat guys. Artie's a fat fuck. You know, Artie, say you like fat guys. I'll get you on the show. I'll drive you up there, and you give me a hand job, and you can say, we'll get you in the studio, and I'll get there, and there'll be free food, and I'll take some free food home to feed my kid who hasn't eaten in a week.
Oh, fuck. I would pay to see this on Broadway. This is better than the Iceman comment or some shit. Fuck.
I'm going to put it against, overlay it on some music and make it my meditation.
Oh,
I cashed my check from Chuckles and Mineola to buy coke from the guy on the LIE who sells the oranges. I'll pick you up. What's your address? Oh, okay, here's my address. Okay, how old are you? I'm 17. Say you're 20. And then Levy picks her up and plies her with drugs and gets her up here, and she's stoned out of her mind.
We don't
know
that.
She goes, I like fat guys. Howard and Gary fall for it like the suckers that they are, and they get her in here, and she's in a bikini, and I'm giving her my number, and Levy's outside getting free crumpets for the family.
Oh, God.
Keep in mind, guys, there it is. It's suckers, not jerks. It's suckers. So Robin takes full ownership of that. That fucking bullshit.
And strategically, he made this on Cupcake Wednesday because he knew we'd have a lot of food out there that's free for him to stuff in his $3 leather jacket pocket. And this is what happened, John. You ask me what happened, this is what happened. This is where Jen came from. It's Levy's web of deceit that he throws out to the intranet and comes back with these poor, pale, scared women and who belong to Whiskey Dick's car clubs and Bourbon Street flop houses. And they come in here and pretend they like me just to get airtime, just to get plugs. It's insulting. I don't like her. I don't like Bob. And I'm insulted by the entire show. And the implication that I, because I might be slightly overweight, need to get laid through some sort of fetish contest. This is horrible. I'm dating several women. They're all nice. They're classy. They have jobs. And they're all above 20 years old. And none of them know Bob Lee.
Artie, I just want to say, not since Hal Holbrook did FDR on Broadway alone have I seen a one-man play as riveting as yours.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
It was awesome.
And Gary was awesome for saying that.
Well, yeah, sure.
But Artie, let's get a little serious now. I mean, I have to
say, seriously, tonight I have plans to fuck her. Right.
there's a couple of things going on. When we got off the air today and Howard was talking to you, you did say that you were clearly uncomfortable when Howard does this.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't think you were.
I know. Let me just, and first of all, once I say this, I'm sure you're going to continue to do this.
No.
Let's be dead honest. I'll be dead. Yeah. I am so uncomfortable with these Find Artie a Date segments. I hate it. I hate that attention. I feel like I'm a pathetic sort of loser who needs this attention. And it's patronizing. It's just so patronizing. Come on, you're my bro. I'm helping you.
That's what a bro does.
Can I ask you something?
He doesn't insult you on, I like, a, he doesn't bring someone, a girl on who has a fat fetish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bang
he's
on.
Exactly right. And so now he's being truthful about it. He's being honest about it. It is true what he's saying. And I can't wait for fucking suck up Gary to come in behind it and take up for Howard because that's what he does. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to see what his response is.
Yep.
I mean, how insulting is that? We like a girl who likes disgusting fat guys, so Artie's going to get a date.
You're putting in the line. This is ridiculous.
Continue to do it because obviously the goal on the show is to make all of us uncomfortable.
No.
I'm horribly uncomfortable with it. I hate it with a red-eyed passion. I will always be belligerent the way I was today. But keep doing it. I hate it.
Here's the weird part of it.
Thank you, sir.
I know that Howard was doing a bit on the air today, but I think on some level, and I'm not kidding around about this, and you're going to think it's crazy, I think on some level he thought that he was sort of hooking you up.
I don't deny that, but it's just so insulting. Like, oh, a girl likes fat guys is coming in. I mean, like, what am I, Annie Mal?
But do you think that
what did I ever do to make you treat me so disrespectfully?
He threw in a Goodfellas and a Godfather reference right there. Bowie's almost like John Hine in this situation, you know,
yeah.
Like just basically towing the party line and doing what he can. But any layman, okay, any average person who listened to what we covered in part one, exactly how it was played, how it was laid out from the Howard TV segment in the beginning where you see her in the hallway getting interviewed and saying and the cameraman going, oh, you're fat guys and that's what you're in for. And already hearing, like, maybe he didn't hear that because he's in studio mm-hmm. doing, you know, talking. But if he saw that on Howard TV, especially after the fact, there'd be, you know, he'd say, look, I'm justified. This is the entire thing. She has a fetish for really heavy set guys. And any normal person would be insulted by that.
Of course they would. And then to go even further, where that's not the case at all. She doesn't really have a fetish. That's a made up thing to get her on the show. And then that's almost double insulting because you just made up the fact he's a fatso. Like,
right.
I don't know how to explain it, but you know what I
mean.
Yeah,
I don't actually have a fetish. I just want to get on the show and get airtime. So not only do I not have a fetish, I'm going to fake a fat fetish to get on the air. And then you're not even my goal. My goal is beyond you. Whatever I can get from this show is what I
want. Yes. It's just so revolting, all of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you're taken advantage of in any walk of life, you just feel, you feel like shit, you feel used, you feel like, how could I have been so stupid? There's a myriad of feelings you get as a result of it. And then you start to get, the worst part is you start to get resentful and you start to get wary of really good people in your life that don't have any ulterior motive. And then you're gun shy all of a sudden, you know, and that creates, it ruins your personality as a result. And it's a horrible thing to do to people.
It really is. And I get too that in, you know, the entertainment industry, really all industries, there's this little dance that you do where you, you know, play the game and everybody does it and blah, blah, blah. And you get your little sports tickets or you get your this, get your that, but it's all, but everybody's aware of what's going on and you play it up properly and you do it in a way that I don't know that it just makes sense. Again, I keep going back to the strippers because that's the thing that I can think of at least. They played it up properly. They played the game correctly. And the Bob Levy thing does add an extra layer of gross deceit, like just sleaze. This nasty, it sleaze. That is the perfect word, sleaze. Yeah. It is super sleazy. She is, he is. And so, I don't know. The whole thing's nasty. And I understand Gary's job is to take up for Howard and take up for the show and blah, blah, blah. But he has to feel ridiculous saying some of the things that he says. Does he believe that? He couldn't.
Oh, she certainly believes. He certainly can believe that. Oh, you know, maybe Howard's, you know, let's like if his job is to, what's the expression? God, it's on the tip of my tongue. For the sake of argument, like stick up for Howard or defend him. Sorry, what was it? What is it called when you take up for the defense?
Devil's advocate.
Devil's advocate. You got it right there. God, it's common enough parlance. I should know this on the tip of my tongue. Call me a 79. So even if you play the devil's advocate, he's not good at doing that because he knows, like, if you know in your heart of hearts that what Artie's saying is absolutely right. And the other thing is, if you're Gary, you've been there and you've been abused by that self same boss for the last two and a half, three decades, I suppose. You know his MO better than anybody because you fall for it every single time. Mm-hmm. But he is stupid and he also is desperate and he knows that him not defending Howard in this situation could lead to worse repercussions for him on the air. And he gets so many of those on the air, he doesn't want any more. At this point, the fewer dressings down he gets from Howard, the better. And if he realizes the only way I can get away from that is to kiss his ass, then I'll do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. So he's just playing the game in his own way to save himself.
Yes.
And 100. To be the little yes man and say whatever he has to say. Ugh, nasty.
Yep. I mean, Christ, we did the one like that one episode I covered with Deborah a long time about a guy that Kate called in, and I'd almost love to redo it with someone else to get their take on it. But the caller called in and just said Artie's got a problem. He's late, or he didn't even show up, or he fell asleep on the air. And you know, Deborah did a fantastic job on it. It was early Patreon guys, like episode 20 or 15 or something like that of the extra Wednesday shows or Tuesday shows, but. The Bowie's attempts at dodging the obvious truths of it all were so bad, eventually it became basically, what do you do for a living? And like, the guy was like, you're not addressing my questions. You're not actually getting to the root. You're dancing around my questions, you and John Hine both. Like, where's HR? Who's supposed to take care of this thing? And again, when you see this and you see this enough times, it lessens not only your respect for Gary, but it makes you think, like, is this Jonestown?
It sure is. It sure is. So he knew the caller was correct. He knew the caller was making very valid points and he couldn't come up with a response, a lie. Because that's how right the caller was. And so he tried to deflect and like change the subject. Yeah, it's.
Well, because they were asking questions. If it was just someone pontificating, he could have said easily, oh, well, that's, you know, everybody's got their opinion. Thanks for calling. We, you know, appreciate your thoughts. Next caller. But because the guy, they had to take him because Bowie thought he was smarter than this guy. So he decided to debate him. And it was the big mistake because this person was talking rings around Bowie, which wouldn't be hard to do generally, but in a court of law, for example, a lawyer would eat Bowie up like fucking I don't know, like a ham and cheese sandwich. It would be that
That's
simple.
Funny. That's funny. I'm going to go back and listen to that one.
I don't recall the name offhand, but it was, early on. And I think the album cover is a Huey Lewis parody. So so that, just check it out, guys.
I mean, what do I do? I'm fine. I'm not out there saying, oh, I need to get laid. I'm not, I'm doing fine. I don't need you to. I don't need these women coming in here to plug their websites and come in here with Levy, who, if there's a way to have Levy out of here during the roasts, I'd be for it.
See, that's another thing. I don't want to go too far on this off the side here. You and Levy definitely have, as much as you guys goof around, that you're buddies and everything. You have some weird thing going on, and listen, you have angered him to the point he really wants to get you.
That's why this is funny. Listen. Again, being honest, I love Levy. Levy, to me, Levy is my life if I didn't get very lucky. I've been very lucky because I have this Belushi look. It's very marketable. I don't have the talent that a lot of people have who've made the kind of money I've made in show business. And I could very easily have Levy's life, which is a good life in a sense that he's a comic. People love him. He's talented. But he's got to really run from check to check. And he's a guy I've known my whole life since I've been working in comedy, a type of guy. I've only known him for a few years, but I know his type, and I love him. I have a genuine affection for him. And I bust their balls. I love busting guys' balls like Bob, and he can take it. There's times I think I hit a nerve, and I feel bad, like with the song parodies. I think he's mad that I've been trouncing on them, but everybody's been saying it. I'm not talking about his stand-up. Sal works with him. Everybody knows Levy's the best. I'm on the Howard Stern Show, and it's tough to follow Bob Levy at a gig. The guy kills. He's a great, gifted comic.
Now,
and so I feel bad if I insult him sometimes.
One sec. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut into that. What happened is... there were a couple, there were lame song parody attempts by Levy that he would send in as if to, just get more airtime or get his name out there. And they were awful. They really weren't funny. They weren't creative because Bob's not creative. I mean, he's a hack comic, let's be honest. So by making mentions of that, though, Artie pointing out someone's shortcomings, Bob's expecting Artie to go, oh, that was funny, Howard, come on. And if something's not funny, it's hard for people to defend it. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Like go to a potluck and someone says, what do you think of this souffle I made? And you're putting it in your mouth and you're suppressing the gag reflex. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, I know. And probably Artie thought they were friendly enough or Bob was, I don't know the word, lighthearted enough or whatever to make fun of himself, but not everybody has that where they can make fun of themselves. And Bob certainly is not somebody that can. And so Artie probably just joked about it and talked about how stupid it was. And so if from Bob's point of view, if he's already upset, he's already jealous, he's already seething that, Artie's going up in the elevator in comedy land and, Bob is staying flat or whatever, then it's going to hit a little bit harder. It's going to hurt a little more.
I think so. Yeah. So, like I said, I think it was fresh start painting on the, I'm not sure. I'll credit the person properly on Patreon who made the original point about punching down with these guys. So my apologies if I got that one wrong.
Sometimes there's times I hit a nerve and he does get mad at me. I know the last roast he was gunning for me, and I thought that made the roast better. It gave it some drama, and then he wrote shitty jokes, which was unfortunate.
Do you think he's really envious of your success? Like deep down, do you think,
I don't think anybody would want to be me in that sense. But the guy's a comedian. I've had success as a comedian.
But Artie, he sort of is you without the success. Don't you think?
I think he's me without the talent and the success. No. Honestly, Levy, I think anybody who's seen us both live would probably argue that Bob is a better comedian than I am. I don't know. I've never seen him act or anything. Again, I got on Mad TV at the age of 27, and I started making great money, and I've had success in television and movies and radio and stand-up, and I'm very, very lucky. And money is not an issue in my life, thank God. And I'm on the greatest radio show of all time. Like, there was a group of people sitting in that Jackie chair, and Bob was in that rotation. And I don't know if it was a competition, but in your head, you make what it is. And I got the job on the greatest radio show ever. That is, unless you're like Chris Rock on that level, That chair opening up on this fucking show, and you guys may not see it because you're so involved. I don't even know if Howard really knows the realm of, I mean, Sal probably knows the importance of it. For the plug alone, that chair opening up, that put a rumbling throughout the comedy community. And getting that job is the greatest gig for a stand-up comic to get, if you're willing to work and use the plugs. And I'm so appreciative of it. And on some level, I'm sure you'd like to have that gig, but I don't see Bob being jealous of me in any other way, except maybe, you know, he wants a little more money. He could use right. some cash.
Sal, is Bob jealous of Artie?
I think Artie hit it right on the head. Bob's definitely not jealous of Artie, but Bob feels that him and Artie are on the same team and on the same page. So when Artie gives him a jab, Bob takes it personally. Because
okay. So you got a couple people corroborating that Bob can't take the needle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a stand-up comic of any type, I mean, if you've been doing it long enough, I think the problem essentially is Bob is a hack and he's at the lower end of the app. Yeah, again, he's at the lower end of the totem pole, and he doesn't have I don't understand why, because he's made it his career. If you've decided this is what I'm going to do, then mm-hmm. I think you have to put on your fucking big boy boots and wade through the bullshit mud and accept that you're going to get a little muddy sometimes. And you have to be able to take this. I don't care who you are. You've got to develop a thicker skin. Otherwise, you're not cut out for that industry.
No, absolutely not. Especially comedy. I feel like that is one of the most brutal jobs that you could do.
I think so. I mean, public speaking, when's the last time you had to do public speaking? Not comedy necessarily, but it might be like a speech at a wedding, or, you know, a keynote speech or something, or an introduction. And how did you feel?
I had to give a presentation at my job, my regular job, you know, corporate life or whatever. And I was all sweaty. Like, I was sweaty and like red. I don't know. I just get nervous and I hate it. And I don't like people looking at me and me talking. Like, there's no fucking way I could get up on stage and also try to be funny. Yeah, I put my little jokey jokes in there or whatever, you know, being dumb, but like to seriously do it. No, I think I have respect for anybody that gets up on a comedy stage and tells jokes in front of people, whether you're good or bad. Just the fact that you got up there, I have respect for that, because that takes a lot of courage, I feel, to do that.
It is a different format. There was a girl I knew who would, she was a whore for the camera. Like, she would play guitar, she'd sing, she would perform, you know, like plays, that kind of stuff. And one night she came to the comedy club, and I said, why don't you go up and do a set? You're here. Like, you don't ever come here, so why don't you give it a try? No one's going to judge you. Well, we will silently, but no one's going to judge you to your face or throw tomatoes. And I could see the look in her eyes, like she was going to go up. Then she said, I can't do it. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. She got, and I go, you've been up on stage. And then I remembered singers have the guitar to hide behind.
Right.
They have a song that's it's almost like a shield. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not me, maybe it's the song, but when you tell jokes, and when you're up there and it's just a microphone, you do feel like it's open season on you. And sure, you have to, you know, like come
you
with
would
the
have to. You would have to feel so vulnerable until you got used to it, of course. Because to your point, you're not hiding behind anything. It is you.
Right.
It's just you and your words and delivery and attitude that's coming out. And people are either going to like it and laugh, or they're going to fucking hate it, or you're going to get roasted on the internet. Like, I couldn't do it unless I was like drunk. I'd have to be like really drunk.
I think they call it, I think the expression is salto mortal, like, which is like the, you know, the walk, the guy that walked between the twin towers, you know, like on the high wire act, that kind of thing. That's pretty much the closest thing to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how long have you been doing it?
Me?
Uh-huh.
I started doing it in 2011, I guess.
And how long did it take for you to get like
comfortable?
Were you nervous? Yeah, were you nervous
still,
at first?
I'm still, before I get on, I'm still nervous. And it takes, I normally, what I have to do is once I get on, I have to actually like kind of just banter a little bit, like, oh, you know, hey guys, what's up? And slowly, slowly start talking to get my joke out. But there's usually a one liner, and then once I get a laugh, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But the leading up to it, and same with public speaking. Well, actually, public speaking is a little different. A little butterflies before I get on, but once I'm on and I have to deliver something, no problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of performers would feel the same. Once you're in the moment, you've got to work. You just got to, you know, you're in there. But it's the leading up to it. It's what your mind does to you before you get on stage. Like, yeah. Do I do this one? Well, I tried this 3 times already. It's not going to work this time. Maybe it will. That kind of the insecurities that come mm-hmm. along with, you know, fuck, maybe too many people have heard this one before already. Maybe someone else's joke is better, you know. Is it a ripoff? All these things that go through your mind. But eventually, especially if you're doing it for a living, you've got to do something to get yourself off that, whether it's, you know, pinching yourself or like taking not an EpiPen. What do you call those things that diabetics use? It's just like a lancet,
yeah, yeah.
And like prick your finger, give yourself pain, something to break your psyche so that you're not focusing on that anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. Yeah, no, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So yeah, I get that though. In the beginning, no matter how long you've been doing it, that there's still nerves that come up. But yeah, once you drop into it, you're like, okay, I got it.
I don't make eye contact with people. I focus on the bridge of their nose.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And it looks like I'm looking at them in the eye, but if they really focus, they'd be going like, what do I have a zit? and to be fair, I haven't done it in a while now because I'm the host of this joint is the current host is a fucking whore. And like just for, you know, in between people's sets, he's doing another 3 minutes and 4 minutes. And it's like, it's his stage and you're just on it. He's NPD, the little fucker. And I don't think anybody's told him and he's never been diagnosed. I'm certain of it. Because he would have anyway. But bottom line is you can't be getting up repeatedly and have like that much sensitivity about, you know, someone fucking on you because you're opening yourself up for that.
Right. And also I would have to believe over time, wouldn't you develop naturally a thick skin to where these things don't bother you as much? That's the other thing I don't get. Like, how is he still so sensitive?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, you know, if I guess, okay, here's the thing. You've got friends, you've got acquaintances, family members, let's say even that there's certain people when they make fun of you, for example, let's say mm-hmm. it's a favorite, I don't know, somebody you just banter with, when they tease you, whatever, you know, it's coming from the heart. Like it's not a bad thing. They're just teasing you to get a good laugh, a stupid laugh out of you. Then there's other people that you're not quite sure of. Mm-hmm. And then when they do this stuff or they're awkward or they say it in a way that you're not quite sure, it keeps you off balance. You know, it makes you think, do they really mean that? Are they just teasing me? Are they fucking around? And then you see how they react with other people and maybe they're the same way. And then so it's up to you, the individual, what your relationship with that person is to determine whether or not this is hurtful or this isn't and how you feel about it. And if it's someone you really respect and they never make fun of you and suddenly they've just teased you, it could be very hurtful.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
So like, mm-hmm. do you have someone like that that you can banter with, like, and they have your shorthand and they know what's going to make you laugh mm-hmm. so they can literally, you know, everybody has a couple people in their lives.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Friends.
Yeah.
And stuff.
It's fun. I like it. Like, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, I don't know. It is fun when you have that relationship with somebody, but I do know what you mean too. There are certain people, if they were to say something, it would hurt my feelings. Or I would take it the wrong, you know, I wouldn't know how to take it. Like, are you being mean? Yeah. I don't know. And it is different. It is different. So, yeah, I could see that.
They think they should work together. Bob looks at it as them not.
That's the relationship. I think he thinks sometimes, and it's weird. He's a comic. It's so funny. The day of my roast, I was the one calling Levy to apologize because I made him feel bad. Sometimes I think when I'm joking, he really takes it seriously.
He does. I know,
and I feel. You know what? I feel bad about that. But
I see. You haven't seen the emails, but Sal will forward me these emails. Bob at night. I don't know what happens if he gets home and he has a couple of drinks, whatever it is. But at night he gets really angry. He's like, "That motherfucker! I'm gonna fucking get him!"
Like that opening little monologue I did there. Clearly, I'm making fun of Levy, but that's all roast type joking.
I don't know that one. That one was him wanting to be evil. I hate to side against him.
I agree. No, that was not being jokey, funny. No, he meant it. That was very specific insult. Like, that's different.
Just a little. Man, that was a forensic dissection. That was an autopsy. That wasn't a soliloquy so much. I mean, it's still funny, but maybe if you're Levy, not so funny.
You know, but I think he thinks, no, because he's paranoid. He goes, no, there was a lot of serious shit in there, I'm telling you.
But you know what? The funny thing was,
I feel bad about that.
There was a lot of serious shit in there.
It was rude, but I love Levy. Levy's a talented, great comedian, and I'm sure he's a good father. I don't know anything about that. But.
Now, if you missed Artie's mood during this whole segment, here's a quick clip from it where, well, just play it then.
I love AC/DC, one of my favorites. What?
Why is she being goofed on? I don't understand. If somebody wrote a letter to Robin and said, Robin, I want to date you. And
someone did the other day.
I know. I'm going to try and get the guy down.
Robin blew it off.
But why is that bad? I mean, I'm just trying to hook you up.
Robin blew it off. She said exactly what I'm
trying to help
saying.
Romance. I don't know. Nice girl.
To get publicity. Well,
why, talk to her, for Christ's sake.
Miss Modesty over here.
Why are you treating her like she's a shithead?
Why are
you treating me like I'm a shithead?
I am not. I would do this for any of my bros.
This is dumb, bros. This I'll fuck you. So leave your
she doesn't
number
want to just fuck you. She's looking at
I don't
want to
date her.
Okay, then forget the why.
Because I don't feel like dating her. It's just a lot
you
of
you don't even know me. You
exactly, and I want to keep it that way.
You were very mean to her. And I actually
she could take it. I could tell she could take it.
But I actually got a little bit of sincerity out of her. I understand the way she came. But, you know, here's the funny thing. Had she come in the day before and been the Miss Howard Stern of the month girl.
First of all, she was Miss Howard Stern. Nothing was stopping me from
No. But if she was the girl that they brought. She wasn't as cute.
Miss Howard TV.
She wasn't as cute as the Miss Howard TV from the day before, but still cute enough. And she didn't say, I like fat guys. You would have been, hey, you know, what do you think about a guy like me? And if she said, I like you, would you have gone out with her?
I don't know. But you know what? If I'm going to date a chick, the whole dating a girl I meet on the show is weird to me. The 20-year-old thing is weird to me. I would have to be, like, insanely attracted to her on some level to go. The whole dating a chick I meet on the air is weird to me. That first of all, I'd send
let me ask you a question. The girl that you brought to Howard's dinner.
Yeah.
At dinner. She knew you didn't meet her on the show, but did you meet her because of her knowledge of the show?
I met her at a comedy gig. I did.
Like, in other words, so she knew you from the show.
Well, she knew she met me through being a comedian.
Oh, she's a comedian?
No. She was at a comedy show.
Right. So, but I'm saying she knew she didn't meet Artie Lang, a guy in a bar. She met Artie Lang, the guy from the
house. She wasn't that big of a fan of the show, but she met me as a comic. She was told she knew. Actually, you know, well, you know, this is going to prove your point. She knows AA. So AA brought her to a gig, and I always thought she was very hot, and I said, if I ever get single, God, I got to remember to try to call her, and that's what I did. I was aggressive with her.
Artie, that's not true, because you also asked for the phone number of plenty of girls on the show.
Yeah, but I really don't. How many times did that happen?
That girl came in for the evaluation that wound up being in Playboy.
And I called her.
You called her.
And what happened?
Well, she's
20 years old.
But you didn't know that at the time. If she was 23.
I didn't know it at the time. That's right.
But if she was 23, you would have still dated her.
What happened, Gadget, and this sticks in my head, and that girl was a Playboy playmate. There's a perfect
example. But she wasn't at the time. She came in for an evaluation.
Look, she's hot enough to be a Playboy playmate.
Right,
she was hot enough to be it then. I called her up and I literally heard her unpacking books at a dorm and I felt sleazy and I was like, you know what? Why don't you go to school? I did call her.
Yeah. I mean, there has to be a cutoff at some point when you get to a certain age. If he was 30, I think that's still, I mean, that wouldn't be such a problem, I suppose. But now like almost 40 and going out with some 20-year-old, that just no way.
I think it's gross. It's not again, or not again, because I haven't said it, but it's not the age gap itself per se. It's what are the ages of the two people, right? So 20 to 40 is fucking gross. I'm sorry. It's gross.
Right. It's where they are. It's where they are in their age when it happens. Like if you're 30 and 50, not a problem. I mean, it's odd.
It's odd.
Because 2 decades is a big gap. But then 40 and 60, there is no problem.
That's not.
See,
right.
All of a sudden, it's not an issue. I mean, 10 and 30 is a problem.
Right. Exactly. It is a problem.
Age is just a number. Yeah, okay.
Right. Go fuck yourself. That's what creeps say.
Exactly. Do I get my own cell?
How many other times has that happened?
There's two issues that came up today. The first one was a lot of guys talking in the office. The first one was that you said she was too young for you, yet 2 days ago you were begging to see the vagina of a high school girl.
Listen, again, are we going to take everything that happens on the air as literal fact?
And the other thing that we thought was funny was that somebody pointed out that the age difference between you and this nice young woman,
yeah,
it's the same exact age difference as between Howard and Beth.
Well, yeah, but Beth is a woman. Howard met Beth when she was in her late 20s. There's a difference. I don't know.
I'm just giving you the, I understand.
I get it. But again, these segments where find the date for Artie are very, it makes me very uncomfortable.
But
I was going to say, I hate them. I squirm. And the whole, I was against the dial-a-date thing. And then that girl, she was a little bit older. She was, you know, I don't know how much older, but definitely older. She, you know, was out in the professional world out there, and it was more of a woman just in the sense of her life experience. And I did. I actually hit it off with that girl.
Right.
And I tried very hard to make that work, and it turns out she had a boyfriend. You know, Howard News found that she had a boyfriend, so I've been kind of burned going down this road before. I'm doing all right on my own meeting chicks. I'm just kind of over it.
Yeah, it seems like what's really pissing Artie off is like...
Okay, so we're going to just wrap it up pretty soon, guys, but that's the big crux of it, though. Like, so he thought, imagine you met this girl or whatever, however it happened, and then all of a sudden you find out she's got a guy, like she's two-timing a guy to go see you. How is that going to endear her to you?
Right, exactly. It just shows you she's using the situation to her, you know, to get on the show, to further her career, whatever that career is. I don't even know.
Yes.
But you're just using. It's all bullshit. It's fake. It's so obvious.
Yeah. And the girl in question had a website that may still be up there. It's not a MySpace thing, but it's of that. It's like a blog page. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what type it is, like Blogger or something like that. And what's on it? Pictures of people she met. So she's got pictures with her already, him at a signing. And then, like, you know, at the Howard Stern studio, like she went in, she had a picture with Howard, whatever. He looks extremely young. He looks like a deer caught in the headlights. Mm. And it's, you know, she was a fan of the show and she wanted to get that interaction and that's how she did it. I don't fault her for that. But if you're the auspices of going on a date with a guy just to get pictures with him and stuff, I think it's creepy as fuck. And I think it's disingenuous and you shouldn't do it. It's, because at the end of the day, Artie's still a person.
Right. And I think that's kind of what everybody's forgetting here, that like this is a real person that you're doing this with. Yeah, it's right. Not, you know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So just play a couple more minutes, guys, and we'll be done.
The pity fuck thing almost.
Yes, it's weird. You know, it's like, I don't know.
So, but at the same time, Artie, every day, and, you know, you've built yourself as the guy who's throwing 50, 60, 70, 100 grand at every girl that comes in.
Bit of humor,
right,
in there.
No, definitely. There's a lot of humor. But after a while, you get the perception that, hey, this guy needs a hot piece of ass. So I can understand Howard trying to throw a hot chick at you.
Right.
But it's just really strange how you could throw 100 grand at an 18-year-old girl to fuck her, and this girl comes in and you treat her like she's got hepatitis.
Okay.
So
let's pick at all the insanely wrong things in what you just said. I didn't ask the 18-year-old. I didn't offer the 18-year-old 100 grand to fuck her.
Well,
I offered
Ms.
a 26-year-old 20 right. grand to fuck her. Okay. That's a little bit of a comedy bit. Okay.
Sure.
All right. Okay. Fine. Secondly, the 18-year-old, I was just going with the notion in the room. And, you know, it's the mob mentality. I wasn't sitting there fucking, you know, drooling to see an 18-year-old naked. It's a goddamn show.
Right.
And so when this happens, you know, my stance is he likes honesty. I'm being honest. This is my stance on this. I feel weird about it.
Yeah, so that's it pretty much, guys. The rest of it, Jen comes in and her boyfriend calls in and he's really upset. Like, she's like, I didn't know this was that part. Jesus. Is funny, but we're not gonna get to that because we think this one's run its course. But we also think you've got enough there to go right into the bro fight as it is on YouTube, as it is on Patreon and Spotify and all those things, and have the full background. So I want to thank you so much for helping me make this happen and being part of it and all your contributions. And did you want to do any shout outs?
Yes, I want to shout out to the Old Mockery Thread gang, because I was thinking about that today, how fun it used to be when we would all I'd fuck off, blow off work for a little bit, and we would just make fun of everything, and it was fun. So Raven, of course, Jeremy, Brendan,
Dino,
who else was Dino was there, Gordon, There was quite the little group. It was
LW would get in there.
Natalie, Brenda Wolf,
that a lot of people would get in there, and C.A. Thompson near the end because of the time difference. And then, yeah. And then people would be at the end, like reading through it and adding their own two bits. It was fun. Absolutely. But it is, it's so much work. And if you're not listening anymore and the show is so awful, I don't know. Yeah. I think it would be fun to do if, because Sam and I have toyed with doing a live, you know, version, like a Q&A type thing, but not a super chats thing. We're not going to be that dickish. Like, pay us $2 and we'll answer your fucking questions.
I think that would be fun.
But something controlled, like a Patreon thing or something that, you know, and YouTube possibly we're going to do a Q&A, but not, you're still not going to see our faces, but, just something that people, we could answer questions, but we're going to have our own agenda going. So it's not going to derail us like some other shit podcasts we know where, you know, just looking for the power button and why isn't my phone charged and all this shit. But we may do that in the future, guys. Let us know how you feel. My only concern is that if you do it, what's the time that's best for everybody, that people, the most people possible can contribute. And I guess that's what people have to put in the comments section. If we did it, where are you? What time zone are you in? So we can sort of pick the sweet spot, because a lot of people are working nights, days, you don't have no idea, and you want to get as many people as possible. So
it's just a
thought. So let us know, QFers, what you think in the comments, and also your comments on the show itself. And like we said before many times, if you love us, don't forget to please give us some reviews on Spotify. Give us the 5-star reviews on YouTube. Like the videos, even if you've seen them 1,000 times, check to see that you have liked them. Comment even on old stuff if you like. The algorithms help us big time, guys, to get a wider audience. And I know you think it's pithy, but on the social media specifically, not so much Patreon, even if it's like a review for TuneIn or Player FM and stuff like that, it helps us big time reach other people. Anyway,
all right,
take care, guys. We love you.
Bye.
If you went through the most incredible metamorphosis and somehow transformed yourself into the best person you're capable of being, and you and Lisa G, after that metamorphosis took place, were on the top floor of a burning building. And it's just you two. And God told Lisa, I will give you the ability to fly if you kiss John the Stutterer. She would say no.
I know.